This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings coming at you live from Flag Is Up Farms in Solvang, California. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July 31st, 2017, episode 1750. This episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Good Monday morning, everybody. We hope you had a good weekend wherever you are. Jamie flew out to Flag Is Up Farm, Monty's house, and you're there now, right?
I am. I did. I got here on Saturday morning. So flying by myself, wow, that's a lot easier than flying with a family. I mean, my God, I drove there. So I got the really early flight. Chad's like, you want to do the early flight? I'm like, hell yeah. Like, it's easy. I'm peace. It's 4:30 in the morning. I'm out. And so apparently I tried to get all sneaky and sneak out of the house, and I tiptoed out. I was so proud of myself. I was using my cell phone flashlight to get dressed. I kept everything all super quiet, tiptoed out the house, closed the door. And I got a text about halfway to the airport. Your hound dog is still howling at the door. Lucky.
See, I thought you were sneaking out for the child's benefit. It was for the dog's benefit.
I was. No, I thought I was. I didn't realize he's gonna let everybody know I left the building. Elvis has left the building. So, so I sneak out. And then I got stuck in a little traffic, and I was a little hurried because they are doing construction, and I get in the airport running a little late. I run, check my bag, da, 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 and I get up and I'm like, I'm here. That was it. It's so easy. I don't have to have snacks. I don't have to have water. I don't have to have anything. No strollers. It was just me. So it was great.
Well, that was weird going down the gangplank and not having your stroller at the end checked in.
I know. Yeah. I just walked directly on. And because you're flying standby, or I was flying standby as a family pass, they hand me my ticket. She looks at me. She actually has two tickets in her hand, and the gate agent looks me up and down and then hands me the one in her left hand. And I looked, and I had like a cute little shirt on, my smooth stride jeans. I had my brand new paddock boots on. So I looked nice. I had a nice shirt on, and I looked at it, and she gave me 1A. First class, baby, which is really not a big deal when it's 7 in the morning because I'm not going to.
And the flight's about an hour and 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. But I realized she was looking me up and down to make sure I was appropriately dressed because she had two tickets for me.
If you had been wearing your old board clothes, you were going back by the toilets.
Yep. The other one was like 15B, you know, like I made it. I passed the test.
Now, did you get anything special in first class while you were?
Really terrible potato chips.
There you go.
I know it's too early. So anyway,
you did get something special, more leg room. That's what you got.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I got 1A. And you know, there's just an emotional feeling that comes with 1A. You're like, I'm 1A. I'm the best in the plane. So I'm not rich or didn't pay for it, but I'm 1A.
And you're first out.
Yeah. Yeah. First in, first out. Everybody walked by me. They're probably like, who's that? Flying Santa Barbara, famous person. And I'm like, got my shades on in 1A. I'm like, nobody talk to me. No autographs, please.
Actually, when I look at people that are doing an hour flight and they're in first class, I look at them and go, why'd they spend money for first class on an hour flight?
Now you know. They didn't.
They didn't. It's people like you. Freeloaders.
Yeah, freeloaders. Exactly. So I got here on Saturday morning and I got my rental car. Again, super easy. Just, I didn't have to install a car seat or anything. It's crazy. So I drove up here and
which is
got
interesting
to watch...
sometimes, that drive from LAX up. Is interesting.
Well, I didn't drive from LA. I drove from Santa Barbara.
Oh, that's
I flew
easier.
To Santa Barbara, maybe.
Yeah, that's yeah, much was... easier.
Really nice. So I got here and they were in the midst of the Horse Sense and Healing Clinic, which is where the military members come out and work with Monty on doing join ups and kind of, I hate to say team building because nobody else has said that, but it's kind of a team building exercise working with the horses. And so I got to see from Saturday morning all the way through the end of the day yesterday. And I'm here to volunteer, so I'm getting horses and I'm helping. And I ended up having to go on the round pin with one of the girls because she struggles with some impairment. So I was able to go in and help her and kind of show her where her body is supposed to be and to do the join up. And it was really beautiful. There was a guy, I'm not going to use any names, but there was a guy who really seemed really within himself. And you know, they kind of spend 3 days learning join up. It's like a join up clinic. Aside from like they go in the round pin, they work with the horse. They try to achieve the join up, which they've practiced on the ground without a horse first. And then they come out and when they come out, there's a counselor there for them because sometimes it can be pretty emotional when you have PTSD, the injuries like that. And you all of a sudden, somebody trusts you. You know, the horse chooses to trust you. It does or it doesn't. And sometimes it doesn't. But when it does, they come out of the round pin and it's really emotional for them. Really emotional. And it was emotional for me. I'm standing up top and you see this big burly guy who clearly, you know, they have lots of scenarios and you see the horse choose them and I cried like 4 times. I was such a blubbering mess and I look around and I'm not the only blubbering mess. So that was nice. a change.
Yeah.
So it was really fun to see. And then yesterday afternoon to see this one guy achieve a join up with Pat's horse who just won a big championship actually in cutting, a rain cow horse. And to see this big old giant quarter horse just go right up to this guy because he got it right. He did everything right and he used the horse's language and the horse chose him. It's so amazing to see. And there is nothing worse for me than a grown man crying. I mean, my God, I am a disaster. I'm like getting teary eyed remembering the grown man crying. So, and they actually asked me to come back and help again. So they must not have disliked me too much. I must not have been too much of a distraction. And helped a little bit. So it was really, really cool to be a part of it. And
that was the first time you had been for one of the warrior.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That was my first time to see it, what they've been doing for years out here now, you know, 4 or 5 years. And it was really cool. And they spend a lot of time in the classroom talking and they share a lot. And I don't know, you know, you see a change in people and just 3 days. I mean, I was only here two and I saw changes. So it's, hey, let me preach to the choir. Horses
right.
Heal.
Yeah, right.
Horses are like actually helpful in aspects of the, oh yeah, wait, hold on. I'm talking to all of you. Okay. you knew that, but I'm glad to be here. And today starts Monty's special training and you're not going to believe. Usually I come and the clinics have 6 to 8, 6 to 10. I think the most I've been here for a clinic was 11. There are going to be 29 people here.
Wow.
For this clinic. Monty's special training. Basically, it's a week you get to spend watching Monty at work. We have gentlers, which are horses that have never been touched. Starter horses, we're going to see get their first saddle on, and this is great because I'll see a whole week of it because I'm a little precious magic Al Jennings is needs to continue on, so I get to see some of that. There's a horse that came in last night that hates men. She's like, it was going to go to slaughter because it had attacked viciously men. And it turns out, it was, as an Arabian, it was abused by men. She said it did that Arabian weird halter show stuff, you know, and and he's a beautiful Arab, so it'll be fun to kind of see his progress. And so, of course, Pat is like, Monty, you are not working with that horse. And so Miguel from Brazil is the sucker. So
Pat's starting to look out for him more, I think.
Yeah, I think so. She's like kind of keeping
he's
track.
He's like
of
80 some.
Yes, years young. And so actually he determined that I was his personal intern for the week. So at 8:15 this morning, I'm meeting him out at the starting gates. And I, you know, I'm like the intern who's like, yes, sir, here's your water. Can I get you a towel? Let me rub your boots. Like, that's kind of what I did all weekend was intern for money.
So you're the coffee girl this week?
I am the coffee girl. He doesn't drink coffee, so I just have to carry water.
Okay. That's
easier. Just follow him at wherever he goes. I had to drive him up to the house. I'm like, get in the car. I'll drive you up to the house. I can drive. I am your intern, Monty Roberts. You will get in the car right now. You will sit. I'm just kidding. I didn't say that. Whatever you want, sir.
Well, that'll be fun. That'll be a fun week for you, for sure.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's just amazing to be here and to see him. You know, he's just such a legend, and the way that he handles horses is unparalleled, and to see these military people, because there were men and women, and to see him work with them and to be a part of that is just amazing. So I think they have some of them are some of them on the university? Yeah. So you can go to MontyRobertsUniversity.com and see kind of some of them and see how it works. And there you go.
Well, I want to hear more. Did a quote from him on Facebook yesterday. I want to talk to you
joke.
More. Yeah, but you know, it was an interesting one. So I want to talk more about that after our Daily Winnies. Jennifer's going to tell us. We do have a show coming up today.
Oh, I thought you forgot about me. Coming up.
Sorry, Jen. I know you're going to be shocked. I got a little long-winded. Sorry.
A little. Yeah, I was prepared. Coming up on our Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, Angela Kelly is going to stop by for a live chat about what's going on over at Horse Girl TV Live. And then Leslie Wiley is going to stop by for one last stateside visit as she makes her final preparations to head out on the most extreme equestrian adventure ever, the Mongol Derby. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Daily Winnie time. I have several happy birthdays today. We have three auditors with birthdays, Joy Orr and Amanda Kramer's birthday today. And over the weekend was Lisa Lemke. So happy birthday to all of them. Also on the birthday list today is my oldest brother, David. It's his birthday today. We really appreciate him. And I'll have to remind me, Jennifer, to give him a call later. Also,
so that was, I'm counting four. So do not play the chili winning four times. I can't take it.
No. also, I wanted to mention new auditors last week, Ellen Attridge, Andrea Wicker, and a big hug to Rosie. Rosie raised her pledge over the weekend, and it's a high one, and we really appreciate it, Rosie. Thank you so much for your support. We appreciate all of our auditors and those that help support the Horse Radio Network and all of our listeners, too. But to get your birthday read, you have to be an auditor, because the only way I know what your birthday is. So there's that technical problem.
That's worth $1 a month right there.
That's right.
Glenda's happy birthday. You're a chilly Winnie. My Daily Winnie goes out to Deputy Trombie. Deputy Trombie is the animal control officer who lives in my neighborhood, who I call all the time with, like, she probably is really sick of me. So I'm in the bunkhouse last night making dinner for seven. Okay. And I'm up cooking.
Wait
up a
minute. A
storm.
You're cooking for seven? Are they all vegetarians or what?
Yes. Well, no, two of them aren't, but they were last night. Okay. So I'm in the middle of cooking them, and I'm making the sauce. I'm in that pivotal point where I've got to add the spinach and just soften it a little bit. Da, da, and my phone rings and I see it's Deputy Trombie, which is never good. She may Facebook me. She may text me. She never calls. I'm like, oh, crap. So I'm like, you guys got to take this. Stir this off. So I grab the phone and hello, Jamie, are you home?
Uh-oh.
No, I'm in California. Okay. Well, I'm just calling around in the neighborhood. I don't know if they're yours, but there are 6 horses out on 183rd and Glendale. What?
What time of day was this?
Last night, as it's getting dark. Okay, so it's like probably 8:30 Phoenix time here in California, and so it's 8:30. Okay. Let me call my husband. Okay, bye. And so I hang up the phone. And then in the onslaught of phone calls that I had to make, husband not answering. Oh, God. And then I call my neighbor, not answering. Then I call another neighbor. Nobody answers. So then I start sending text messages and then calling. And so then they answer because they're like, why is she calling us at 8:30 at night? They need to know it's for a bad reason. So I call Shannon. Shannon, there are 6 horses loose on 183rd in Glendale. She's like, I just fed. Ours are in. I'm like, okay. So I call my neighbor. Yvonne. There are 6 horses loose on 183rd in Glendale. And she's like, okay, they're not ours. They only have 4. And I said, yeah, I know. Can you go to my house? And she's like, okay, I'll go to your house. I'll check it out. So because, of course, Chad's not answering. But then I realized my dad's in town visiting and he's staying at my house. So I call my dad. My dad is in bed asleep. And I'm like, Dad, I need to talk to Chad. Is he there? He's like, I don't know. Well, of course, you know he's there. He's like asleep, you know. Like, go get him. I need to talk to him. Honey, there's 6 horses loose on Glendale and 183rd. Our horse is there. He's like, let me call you back. So I've called everybody in the neighborhood that I know. And there are currently 6 horses at my house. And you know what? My horses are locked and safe. But there is a problem. I am boarding Zeus at a neighbor farm for the week.
Oh, no.
No! Oh, my God. So I'm caught because it's the place with the aqua tread. I decided to alleviate Chad's issues. You know, like, I'll make it easier for you. He's going to board at the aqua tread place, and he's going to work all week, and it'll be great. So I'm calling Madison. Madison, answer your phone. There's 6 horses loose on Glendale 183rd. You got to answer your phone. I text her. Madison, has Zeus let all of the horses out on your property? I had told her to lock the gate. I'm like, no, seriously. She's like, oh, we got clips on. No, you have to triple clip it. Like, he will get out. He will jump out. He will figure a way out. So at this point, I'm like, oh, my God. Zeus has let himself out and let all 5 other horses at the aqua tread out. I'm calling her like crazy. She's not answering. I know my horses are home. I know Shannon, where Magic and Zara are. They're home. Everybody's under control, except for I can't get where Zeus is. And of course, he's the deciding factor. I mean, I ate dinner in about 0.2 seconds. And I like wolfed it down. I got a stomach ache. I ate so fast because I was just so nervous. Finally, she calls. She's like, I'm sorry. I was unable to answer your call because I was rounding up the horses for my neighbor.
So it wasn't Zeus?
It was not Zeus. She tells me a text. I was rounding up the horses. My stomach dropped for my neighbor. Oh, thank God. She says she sends me a text. It was not Zeus is what she sent me this text.
That's good because she would have doubled your board that day.
She would have had to send him home. Like, you can't get him out of here. I'm not kidding. No.
Not dealing with him.
No. So that was my evening of like peace and quiet and relaxation. Jamie, are you here? I don't know. I'm in California. I don't know. I can't get a hold of John. Oh, my God.
This stuff always happened to us, too. When we went away, it was always on the first day of vacation. We'd get the call. There was always some crap that happened on the first day of vacation. And then the rest of the week, you thought about it. You know, it never happened on the last day of vacation. It always happened on the first day of vacation. And you get the call. It's like, do we really want to answer? I guess we better, because then you feel guilty if you don't.
Oh, my gosh. What a drama.
Well, I'm glad. Did dinner come out okay?
Yeah, everybody liked it. Okay, I think it was good. I can't really remember. I ate it so fast and in such a panic. Because, of course, my cell service isn't great in the bunkhouse. So I have to go outside. So everybody, I'm looking in the window like this little homeless girl, like, oh, look at them eating and having fun.
Well, before we get to our first guest.
Can I have some more, please?
Before we get to our first guest, I wanted to tell you all that Devin and the Limitless Girls finished on Sunday their Colorado Trail 500-mile journey. And let me tell you, Colorado made it difficult at the end. They had a 16 hours. This is the day before they finished. They had 22 miles to go, and they had 16 hours of rain. So they were traveling in the rain. Now, one of them, unfortunately, at the 22 miles from the finish, one of them, you remember I told you on Friday, one of the horses had a minor colic and they had all the stuff along and abandonment and everything. And then they took a day off. Well, the horse just never was quite right. So Jess, one of her mates there, decided to pull out and not finish with that horse for the horse's benefit. So they had the trailer come up and meet them, and she pulled out, but made it all but 22 miles from the end. And then they did finish yesterday. I have a little bit here. Let me just get this up. I have a little bit. They did a video, and this is them. You'll hear the sound. This is them all with a bottle of champagne, opening five bottles of champagne. They were a little happy.
Debbie just looked over. She can hear it coming on my headphone. She's like, what is that?
That's five girls who just went 500 miles in Colorado. That's what that is. But apparently all the horses are well. The horse that they pulled up for, I think, is doing fine. So congratulations to all of them. It was funny because yesterday, We had Jennifer's dad in over the weekend, and we were telling about the Mongol Derby and how Leslie was doing that. And I brought up a video from the Mongol Derby that ABC had, or NBC, one of the two had done. And it happened to be the year that Devin won the race and then got a penalty and they put her back to second. So that was interesting because they really covered the race from beginning to end. It was like 20 minutes long.
Really?
And yeah. Devin, by the way, is a very intense character when she's competing.
I'm shocked.
She's a little intense, but and was very upset when that happened at the end. But what happened was her horse came up and his heart rate didn't come down fast enough, so they gave her a 2-hour penalty.
I wonder why.
Yeah. So they gave her a 2-hour penalty, and Laura Pryor, Jennifer, I think, was the one that then came in and won the race. We had her on too. So it was an interesting one to watch because we knew everybody because we've talked to them all. So that was, it was very interesting to watch, and it made you appreciate how darn difficult that race really is.
I don't think anybody thinks it's easy.
No. And I don't think there's one person that thinks it's easy either, and that's Leslie. But she had a fun last week. She's going to come on later and tell us about that. She did a little packing in the mountains.
And her husband wrote two articles on Horse Nation about his wife going on. Oh my gosh. I see why they're married, because they are very similar, and he's an incredibly talented writer. I actually thought I was back in English class at school. I'm like, what does that say? I have to read like sentences twice because they were such big words.
I had to look at it too, actually, to be honest. I was like, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It's pretty amazing. So we'll have that. Also, before Leslie comes on, it's one of the biggest request I get, it's taking over the popularity of Badass, is I've got teenage equestrian social media drama.
Oh, is this California social media drama?
Social media drama is
universal.
Interstate. Okay.
Definitely is. It's universal.
It's international. Okay. I don't know where it comes from. I just see it on the internet and I read it.
All right, good. That's coming up a little later, too. Let's hear about it.
I love that, by the way, people are having major drama internally, and I'm like, oh, good. Yes. I can use that.
We don't mention names, so we're nope. Okay. That's right. They could be anywhere. We're going to hear from Omega Alpha, and then we have coming up somebody that's been doing social media in the horse world a lot longer than even we have. And she was one of our first guests 9 years ago on the Stable Scoop show, and we're going to hear what she's up to now. But first, Omega Alpha.
Omega Alpha specializes in natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance, and they know how much personality and behavior can factor in the quality of our relationship. whether we're an Olympic-level competitor or modest weekend warrior. That's why they've created three different all-natural formulas to help us get the most out of our horse-to-human relationship. Chill Liquid, formulated especially for horses with pre-performance jitters. Chill Ultra Paste, with the added benefits of B1 and magnesium. And Premare, the hormone balancer for witchy mares, and you know who you are. Look for all of Omega Alpha's all-natural formulas at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Well, coming up next is a person that has been in the social media space a lot longer than we have. She was there doing videos before we even thought of starting, and that was 9 years ago. And I got to bust her chops a little bit before I even let her talk, because we have Angela Kelly coming up from Horse Girl TV. And when I first asked her to come on one of our shows like 9 years ago, she said, "I don't do live shows. I don't do live." And now, all of a sudden, Angela, 9 years later, you're doing live. Oh, she, are you there?
I'm here. I'm just laughing.
What happened?
It still terrifies me.
Does it? Yeah?
There's nothing. It's still, because live, something goes wrong. And you just have to keep going.
Yep, that's correct.
you know that so well. And so that's why I always love the pre-recorded stuff. And, you know, you have your cute little drop-ins all organized and everything works perfectly and you just run it. But yeah, live. Thank you for the introduction. Thank you for busting my chops. I was wondering if you were going to say something about that.
Of course I was.
Yeah, it does still terrify me.
You knew I was. Hey, Angela, you started when? When did you first start your show? And this is Horse Girl TV we're talking about.
Horse Girl TV was the first show launched May 1st, 2007. May 1st, 2007. And then it was bi-monthly for, I don't know, until like 2013, 2014. Yeah,
that's what I thought. So, I knew that when we started, I looked, and we had you on like episode 12 of our Stable Scoop show, which was in 2008. So,
okay,
it was very early on. Yeah.
Yeah, it was back in the day when nobody was doing it. And it was like, I likened it to when you were talking about, you know, like talking to potential sponsors or advertisers back in the, you know, 10 years ago. I likened it to trying to sell someone a web page in 1995, and they're like, "What's the super information highway thing's not going to take off? We don't need a glorified brochure online." So
it's kind of
the same. And now live. I mean, you were groundbreaking with live, and then now every Tom, Dick, and Harry and their pet monkey has a live show. So, but you guys were there at the beginning and, you know, leading live, seriously.
Well, what made you decide to do the show live now? Why the change?
Well, it wasn't my idea. It kind of just evolved from a conversation of, a client had asked me to research some wrapping stuff on how to wrap layers of wrapping, like a phone and a Wi-Fi device and like a MiFi device all together to shoot remote video live. And so we were looking at different hardware and software applications that could do that just to shoot live. So I was researching that. And I was like, yeah, this would be fun. You know, you guys could use it in XYZ application because they go to a lot of trade shows and stuff. Is the folks at SpaldingFlyPredators.com. And they do a lot of trade shows. And so I was like researching that for them. And then that conversation, like 2 weeks later, turned in, why don't you bring back Horse Girl TV, but do it in the form of a live studio show? And I was petrified, but we just kept talking about it. And so they came back in as the leading presenter of the show. And you know, 6 months later, he launched the first live show with a lot of hiccups.
We don't know anything about those, Angela. We never have that problem.
Oh, my. Oh, we had you do rehearsals. Well, you guys don't do rehearsals.
No.
But we did like some, you know, we did rehearsals with folks the day before, because, you know, like live stream studio is what we use for bringing, you know, doing the switching and stuff. And so, like, bringing in people, you want to make sure, one, their bandwidth is enough. And there's all these, like, you add video, audio is difficult enough, then you add video and it's just like a whole other layer. And the biggest issues have been with audio with the video. So you do rehearsals and you'll have like rehearsals with people. And then the next day they show up on the show and they've changed their setup, and you either don't have audio or you've got this looping because they've unplugged their headset, and it's not one person, but you're interviewing two people all of a sudden, and you're like, whoa, 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 what happened? So the first few shows, it was a little bit peppered with a lot of challenges, but we've kind of nailed that down as far as prepping people for, like, hey, if we practice one way, you know, like practice what you preach. So if we're going to practice one way, we're going to shoot live the same way. So,
well, now
it's still not perfect.
You also play packages. Let me rephrase that. You play pre-recorded stuff during the show that you've done too, right? Or is it all live?
No, it's all live, but it started out as this, like, they wanted it to be this hour long show. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know who's going to watch an hour long of me rattling on talking to other people about stuff. So, we kind of got it nailed down to, one remote interview and or in studio interview. And then, either a Horse Girl Mail or a Horse Girl TV classic, which is a classic, is just like a throwback to an old episode. So I'll introduce the episode, and then we'll run that episode. And obviously it's me from, you know, 5-10 years ago. But so that's not live, but it's, you know, the switching part is.
No, it's so funny because, you know, Jamie's studio's in a bedroom. Our studio, my studio, is one of the spare bedrooms in the house. So you had to build this set. Is it in a bedroom? Oh, did we lose her?
I don't recommend.
Yeah, I heard.
Oh, there, you're back.
I heard that Jamie has a studio in her bedroom where you guys had, and then I didn't hear what
I was just asking. Did you build your set in a bedroom too, like most podcasters do?
No, it actually, I live in New England now in a 1773 farmhouse.
Wow.
And there's like one whole side of the house, or one third of the first floor is my office on one side, and then the studio on the other. And the studio actually takes up large, like twice the size of my bedroom, because it's two half walls with the floor. It's the footprint's 12 by 12 of the studio, and then with the trusses on top, and lighting, and it's like a hugely produced show. Whereas me, you know how I started, it was more like guerrilla stuff, just get out and get people, no lights, you know, throw it together kind of thing. So this is really orchestrated stuff. It's definitely not a bedroom. So, although if I had my druthers, I'd have like a one backdrop and it'd just be me and you know, really low maintenance. But yeah, it's a pretty big deal.
Well, you know, and doing video is harder. I mean, it is definitely harder than doing audio. It's a reason. And the other thing is, you got to look good. And that's something Jamie and I decided at this hour of the morning, neither one of us wanted to do. So, yeah, Jamie's usually in her pajamas, just having gotten up. It's 5 o'clock in the morning to do the show.
I have pants on today.
You have pants
Thank
on?
You very
well, that's
much.
Only because Woo! You're at Monty's house.
Well, it's because Debbie always comes up here and she looks so pretty, and I'm always in my sweatpants. So you got a hard job there, sister.
Yeah. You got to get, like, put makeup on.
It's good lighting. That's all it is. It's just really good lighting. Takes out all the wrinkles and evens out everything and makes the flesh tone look like actual flesh and not like you've just rolled out of bed. So, yeah.
See, she even understands that stuff.
It's all lighting.
The fact that you even understand. Now, what kind of guests are you having on? What's your focus now with the show? And how often is it, by the way?
It's every other Tuesday at 3 p.m. And we specifically did not pick a morning time every other week, so it would not conflict with Horses in the Morning.
Well, thank you very much.
So nice.
That was one of my things. I was like, I'm not going to do it when Glenn and Jamie are doing it because that's Aww. Just not right. Cause yeah. So it started out, it was like noon East Coast time. And then I wanted to do it like noon Pacific Standard and three. So that's where we got to the three out here, but every other Tuesday right now. And so tomorrow we actually have a show. And Coach Daniel Stewart is coming on.
Love Daniel. Yeah.
And he is, I talked to him last November at Equine Affair, and he is just the coolest dude and so sweet and so smart and so like, could you just come with me to every horse show? Because you could top me off the ledge like nobody's business. Like he's just amazing at what he does. So, yeah, he's coming on tomorrow. And then what am I doing for, hors d'oeuvres and horses is, I think, the Horse Girl TV Classic flashback.
Is this hors d'oeuvres for horses or it's not horses in hors d'oeuvres, because that would be bad. So that's why I asked.
Yeah, that would be that. No, it's not. It's okay. Not shot in Italy.
Good.
It's good. No, definitely not. Okay. No. I called the show Hors d'oeuvres and Horses. I think it was from 2008. It was at the Hampton Classic, and I interviewed. And I'm hoping that this is the right show. I'm pretty sure this is what we're doing tomorrow. I interviewed Chris Robbins of Robbins Wolfes and Tours about catering the Hampton Classic and what it's like to cater such a large scale event. And, you know, then there was, of course, we sat down and chatted for a while, and champagne was involved. And then we actually started shooting the show. So it's rather funny because I'm, well lubricated during the conversation. Well, not well lubricated. I had a half glass of champagne. So for me, that was tipsy.
Medicated.
So. Yeah. Medicated. You're not lubricated at that point. You're medicated.
Medicated. There we go. Yeah. I was very relaxed for the interview. Let's just put it that way. And then we ate all
the tough assignments. Go drink champagne and eat hors d'oeuvres. That's the tough assignment right there.
You know, yeah. I need to start hanging out with the show jumpers more and the polo people because they do it right.
They do eat a lot of fancy food. Yes, they do.
A lot of fancy food, a lot of beef. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so, Angela,
I admire that you guys can do your pajamas.
But we don't get the fancy food. So I want to apologize because you've been talking to me about coming on the show. We've never got that done, but we'll get it done here soon. See, I have to pick a day.
I would love to have you and see you on the show, like, because the remote is so easy. It's as simple as a Skype call.
All right, good. Well, then I got to get like dressed up.
No, Glenn, your lighting is not good.
My lighting is terrible. Yeah, I won't look as good as Angela.
We'll send you a light ring. So then it just like the light ring will just like totally light up your face and you'll.
No,
we don't want
dark in that room.
Is there anything to make my face darker?
Oh, goodness.
Well, Angela, where can people watch it? Where do they go?
Tomorrow at 3, it's on Facebook. So it's facebook.com/horsegirltv. And all of the shows VOD, like after we shot them, will go up on the YouTube channel, but then they can just get to it easy from horsegirltv.com.
Horsegirltv.com. Well, Angela, it's been fun catching up again, and good luck with it. I will get back to you, I promise. We'll get this done.
I would love to have you guys on the show. Thank you for having me on yours.
All right. Thanks, Angela. Horsegirltv.com is where you can find Angela. And I'm sure that most of you have seen one of her episodes or another over the last 12 years. So check it out today. Well, that was fun. Do you remember when we had her on first? She was scared to death to do live.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe it. Seems like so long ago.
It was. It was long
we
ago.
We had her on I think the first couple episodes.
We did. And she didn't want to do it. I had to talk her into it because of the live. That's why I had to bust her chops at the beginning, because we had a conversation for about an hour to convince her to come on, because she likes editing and she likes it to be perfect. She's kind of a perfectionist. So when she was doing the live.
That's most people.
But there is a difference. There is a difference, though. When you watch her show now, you can tell she's actually planned it. And knows exactly what she's doing. So it's she's still got that perfection thing going, unlike us who just show up and do a show.
Like I said, most people do that.
Yeah.
In some sort of entertainment.
Not us. All right. Yeah. Sam Gay is going to help us out here a little bit. We're going to come back then. We have our teenage angst segment coming up, as well as
it's
Leslie.
Teenage Wiley. Angst. It's teenage social media drama, Glenn.
See, I have my sound file labeled as teenage angst. So that's why it's teenage social media drama.
You can spell angst?
No, it's spelled wrong. I see right here. It's not. Okay. All right, let's take a break. Sam Gay is going to get a place for everything, and then we'll be right back.
Backyard, there are piles of junk and two rusted cars. They remind him of his younger days. He keeps his memories scattered all over the place. He's a pack rat of some great repute, a fact that no man can dispute. Mom just shakes her head and sighs and keeps her kitchen clean. There's a place for everything. So why can't he ever find anything? Still he's comforted just knowing that it's always there if he needs it. He's built sheds and barns to house his stuff. There are shelves and bins and hooks. Dust. His little empire fills him up with pride. The neighbors cringe, but he just smiles. There's a place for everything. So why can't he ever find anything? Still he's comforted just knowing that it's always there if he needs it. Well, I must admit, I understand, 'cause we share this trait with his old man. He's got higher piles of junk than mine, but I'm sure I'll catch up in time. There's a place for everything. So why can't we ever find anything? Still we're comforted just knowing that it's always there if you need it. He's got buckets full of rusted bolts and two drawers packed with old remotes from TVs that died long ago and ashes from an old wood stove. There's a workbench pile of wires and screws and things he's not sure what they do. He's got stacks of shingles and a perfect roof and old electric motors too. There's a place for everything. There's a place for everything. There's a place for everything. There's a place for every little bitty tiny thing.
Well, that was Sam Gay, and of course, he is the husband to Templeton Thompson. And that, all of us know a person that has that house. All of us know one of those people. I'm not going to say who it is in our family, but we all know one of those people. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings, who's out at Monty Roberts Place, Flag Is Up Farm in California. And of course, Coach Jen is producing today. Are you ready?
Brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine.
Brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Are you ready?
You want it now? Okay. All right. Monday morning, equestrian teen social media drama. Please feel free to send yours in to me, Jamie at horseradionetwork.com. Oh my God, you guys. So get this. My trainer literally won't let me have my cell phone when I ride. Like, what if I need it? She like says it's dangerous to have whatever. Like my cell phone is gonna hurt me. I like to Insta my rides and put them on my story. Who cares if I have my phone? It's literally not gonna make me fall off. Does anyone else have a totally mean trainer?
I feel so old because I only understood about a tenth of what you just said.
That's a serious thing, Glenn, not having your cell phone when you ride.
I'm going to Insta my story. I was going, what's that? Instagram. It took me a minute.
It was the Snapchat story part, Glenn. Put him on their story. It's really serious. And I would like to talk to this young lady and just say, gosh, you need to find a new trainer. I mean, what horrible person.
I know. That is terrible.
You're in a lesson.
Well, before we get to...
I have another. We have two.
You have two? Wait a minute. All right. I didn't know there were two.
There's always two. This one is brought to you by Starbucks. That's not it. Go. Here's my venti vent for the day, LOL winky face. That's their large coffee one.
Oh, I'm listening.
I'm still going. The music slows me down.
Okay. Sorry. I wanted it in the background to give it dramatic effect.
No, I like the music. It just makes me calm down. Like it. Play it.
Okay.
Here's my venti vent day. It's so not fair. It is not my fault that I have a big, pretty horse that always wins. I like work really hard with my trainer to win so much. Just because Cobalt has auto changes doesn't mean that the other girls at the barn have to hate me. My parents imported him, and those girls are just jealous. Their horses are totally ugly anyway.
I don't know what to say to that. I really don't.
I will turn the music on. I will come over there and yank you off that horse. Who do you think you are telling those girls that they're ugly? You are just the mean girl in the group. Nobody likes you because you're a bitch. Okay? It has nothing to do with the fact that you have a big, pretty horse. You're just rude. Like, who posts that on social media? And I don't have access to see the comments. I don't know if they have comments on Snapchat. I don't know. They just send me the screenshot. So I don't know how this was received, but I'm assuming not well. I thought it was appropriate.
Do people
think
that the people they're talking about don't see this stuff?
I mean... What I'm dying for is somebody to email me and be like, you totally read my Snapchat story on the air. You're so rude. I was pouring out my heart and I was telling everybody like how I feel. Okay. It's supposed to be like a safe place. The internet is a safe place. Okay. And you just like read it. on the air. I can't believe you would do that. Okay. It was like personal to me and private. I mean, when I post stuff on my Snapchat story, it's private. Nobody sees that except for the people I like want to see it. Okay.
Yeah, so it's sort of like those naked selfies you're taking. People see those too.
I just saw an article about it was like advising people not to post naked selfies, send them over Facebook. Oh. Like, why would you think that that was a good idea? Like, somebody had to write an article about not doing that because so many people did that.
I don't know why they think that it's just their little clique of friends and that they don't know how to do screenshots, but they do. They do.
I've been told on Snapchat that if you send a picture, it disappears like instantly. And if somebody does screenshot it, they like totally let you know. It says, hey, this guy like screenshotted your naked photo.
But you can't do anything about it at that point, right?
What are you going to do? Yeah. Like, it tells you if somebody screenshots it. Like, well, that doesn't help. It doesn't help. It doesn't make it go away. Hey, that guy took your naked picture and has it forever and it's probably going to post it and you're never going to get a job because you took a naked picture and you're now going to be labeled and you're never going to get a professional career because there's naked pictures of you because you're an idiot. Sorry.
Well, can we change gears a little bit and talk about mosquitoes?
I got to get out of this. Hold on. I got to cleanse. Talk.
All right. We got to talk about mosquitoes. Here, this will help you. Mosquito talk will help you. We have been inundated the last 3 days. It's like a war. I mean, the mosquitoes are horrendous. We have been wearing, in 95 degree weather, long pants and long shirts to go outside because you just can't fight these things. They are just ravenous right now. And they usually go away in 3 or 4 days, but we've had so much rain. I mean, we've had inches of rain every day. So that's probably why. So we haven't asked this for a long time, since last summer probably. Jennifer, post on Facebook, on Horses in the Morning Facebook page, what is your cure to fight mosquitoes? Do you have, because everybody has their home remedy, right? Jennifer uses catnip. She makes catnip soup. And then we spray the horses with catnip soup. I'm not sure that works anything better than anything else. I really don't. You know what we've gone to doing, and I know somebody's going to harass me and tell me this is awful, but the only thing we've found that really works is Deep Woods Off, the human version of Deep Woods Off. And we spray it actually on their blanket. We put the fly sheets on them, and they're out there in 95 degrees with their fly sheets on because it's just awful.
It's even during the day they're out.
Oh, it's bad. And Nigel literally came in. He was wearing his sheet. He was wearing his fly sheet. And his neck sticks out. You know how their necks stick out from about halfway down up to their fly mask? So that's the only part you can see other than their legs, right? And that part was literally swelled up. I mean, it wasn't a bunch of little bumps. It was just a big bump from all of the mosquito bites in his neck. And we had sprayed.
I mean, can you fog the area?
I don't know how we do that.
Get a fogger. You go to Home Depot and you say, I need a mosquito fogger, and they sell it
to you. Can I fog for 5 acres?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we fogged last year.
Did you? But then we'd have to fog all the neighbors' houses, too. That's going to be kind of tough.
Well, it's this, like, gun thing, and you walk around. I'm not sure it's probably very healthy for anyone involved, but
sprayed everywhere probably isn't either.
Deep Woods Off with DEET or whatever is probably not great for your horse. But the thing that we use, and I've told you this, because the mosquitoes come this time of year in Arizona, is the only thing I found that works is a thing called Mosquito Halt. And it is a fly spray type thing called Mosquito Halt. And it smells like cancer. It is awful.
Is that good, huh?
It is awful. Chad's like, oh God, it's so gross. But it is the only thing that we found that works. And I would love if somebody could provide me with like a holistic remedy. I would love it.
Now, Jennifer, what have you found? Have you found, has the catnip tea been working this year?
The catnip tea works really, really well, but it is very short lived. You've only got 2 to 3 hours.
Minutes.
And it, 2 to 3 hours, and it works really effectively for 2 to 3 hours. If it gets rained on, if it gets rolled in, because I use it on me. I don't spray the DEET on me. It's poison my horse, not myself. And I just wipe it on with a rag that's been dampened with it. And it's extremely effective, but it's got shortcomings. If it's raining out, it gets washed off and you're SOL.
What if you could put some like olive oil in there with it to give it a little olive oil.
Give it a go. Go to the store, buy yourself a big box of.
I bought a big box of cancer. Honestly, so you give it a go and let me know how it worked. Okay. Put some essential oils in there, some citronella essential oil, catnip. I don't know, whatever.
Something that smells better than, yeah.
And by the way, catnip tea smells gross.
Yeah, it does.
It is not pleasant.
And you know, the other problem we have is the cats in the neighborhood keep attacking your horse, and that's not good. Yeah. They just comes back with scratches. They're almost bigger than the mosquito bites. So that's the other issue you're going to have. Might want to watch that. All right, let's see if Leslie is here. Hi, Leslie.
Hi.
I get to do this one more time. God. One more time. I get to do this. Hold on. I gotta find it. Where'd it go? Oh no, I lost it. Here we are. Here we go.
Horse Nation.
This episode is Do Try This at Home.
Leslie,
failure is always an option.
Any result's a result, that's for sure.
Or not.
Leslie Wiley, good God. How many days until you leave? Like two?
Yeah, I leave on Thursday.
Woohoo!
Yeah!
All right. There's got to be, I mean, I am just nervous talking about that. I'm nervous for you, but what's the percentage of nervousness versus excitement?
Nervousness is like down to, I'll give it 1%. I'm so excited. I feel like my transformation into Katniss Everdeen with a magical wine bra is complete. I'm in full on primal Girl Scout mode.
Primal Girl Scout mode.
That's the first time those words have ever been put together.
About as primal as a 10-year-old can get. I'm ready to sling some Girl Scout cookies.
Do you watch Orange is the New Black?
I have before. I'm not up to speed on it.
In one of the episodes, they do a backstory on one of the girls that's in prison. And like her dad drops her off in the woods with a needle and a cup of water and a magnet or something. And like you see her kill her own animals and she's like probably 9. And she like navigates her way home with this needle in a cup of water. And she's wearing a Girl Scout uniform through this whole thing.
Wow.
Now she did end up in prison or something. Right. We don't know. Don't let that affect you, but be that primal Girl Scout girl you got.
Yeah.
There. So how was Montana? Tell us about that.
It was so great. So I spent the first week there covering the event at Rebecca Farm, which was fantastic as always. I did, instead of staying in a hotel, I got an Airbnb teepee, which was hilarious, on a bison farm.
Oh my God, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard.
So, yeah, it was great. Like, it was just, that was like one morning I was just like laying in bed and this chipmunk ran in and like, or a squirrel or something. It was like a black squirrel, dropped like a pine cone, like right beside my bed and like ran back out. I heard large animals right outside at night. It was great. And then, and of course the event was fabulous as always. It's such a cool event. And they had Young Riders Championships there for eventing, this year too, so, which was super cool and added to the chaos. There's just a million things going on all the time.
Yeah.
But
there were like 700 competitors this year.
It was mad completely. Yeah. So let's see. So then I was there and, you know, a friend had told me, this is how this pack trip came about. A friend last year told me that they were in Glacier and they did this wine and cheese llama trek. Like They took some llamas up to the top of the mountain and like had wine and cheese, like happy hour on top of a mountain, and then came back down. And I was like, that sounds amazing. And so I called this company because I'm just like, I don't want a wine and cheese llama truck, you know.
Because who doesn't?
Do that. Part of my Girl Scout preparedness.
Yeah, right. Seems like good Mongol derby training. And then like one thing leads to another, and then I end up signing up for this 5-day pack trip instead in the Bob Marshall Wilderness area, which is, it's actually bigger than Glacier National Park. It's adjacent to it, but it's a wilderness park area as opposed to a park. There are like no roads in it. It's completely unspoiled. Like to get in there, we rode about 15 miles and we had like pack mules carrying our stuff, you know?
So we
rode to this base camp, and then we just kind of every day we'd ride, you know, 2 or 3 hours out to some beautiful emerald green trout filled, you know, glacial crystal clear lake. And, you know, some of the people would go, there about eight guests, and some people would go fishing, and I was like, I'm going for a walk. And so I just go like, and I was kind of surprised they let me go by myself, because it's grizzly country. The place is crawling with bears, but they just like, you know, gave me some bear spray, and I had my GPS and some water, and I just walk out, you know, go out and for hours and wander around and, you know, practice with my GPS and be like, okay, I'm getting to that, you know, that mountaintop. And then I'd come back and swim in the lake, then we'd run home, and then we'd like eat, you know, I'm like, I can definitely eat marmot now. We didn't have any super weird animals to eat, but I did have like a moose steak. That was pretty exciting.
Did you have any goat? Did you eat any goat?
No, but I feel like I'm one with the goat. I followed a lot of mountain goat paths. I can track a mountain goat now, and yeah, and wolves.
Yeah, can you kill it and prepare it?
Don't answer that.
Now, your husband wrote an article for Horse Nation, two articles actually, and I was saying that you can absolutely see why you two are a couple. Where you are more sometimes of a free spirit and you're like, let's do it and not think about the consequences. He drew up a proficiency/preparedness like spreadsheet. And it was your rating. This is, he took the application process and he rated you in five different categories as to the rating at the time of application, the time the rating you should have on race day, and your current rating. Do you want to talk about this?
He took a real charts and graphs approach, which obviously is not my preferred very cerebral thinking, brain oriented.
Leslie had trouble even reading the charts and graphs.
But yeah, because that's how he works. He works in, he thinks in lists, and he thinks very, you know, he is such a cerebral, profound guy. I mean, that was my blown away. You know, I asked him, I knew he was a great writer, I was going to be out of town, I was like, why don't you write my column for me? And he, you know, wrote this this, you know, 6,000 word masterpiece that we actually broke into. And I'm like, do you want my job? Too bad he doesn't know just a little bit more about horses. And I think it was helpful for him too, because obviously this is, you know, not been an easy, this has been, you know, a little bit of a test for him too, to watch me go through all of this. And you know, I know that for the next three weeks are going to be pretty tough for him. Worrisome.
May I read a little bit of this article?
Yes.
This is part two. This is your husband talking about how you guys were preparing. So it says, early on, I was primarily reading and watching whatever media coverage or blogs about the Derby I could find online, and sifting through the adventurous website with a fine-tooth comb. Leslie, meanwhile, was receiving regular official email tutorials, missives, and hot tips from event organizers and past competitors, along with personally interviewing many of the same for the Horses in the Morning podcast. Her info was coming firsthand, straight from the source, while I felt like a second-rate PI, whose main investigative tool was Google. So, why were we having conversations in late February where I seemed like the more informed of the two? Last paragraph. Because she was in denial. For nearly 2 months, Leslie either avoided the subject altogether or just focused on the hilarity of the situation. In a Fargo the movie way, not in a blimp piloted by hamsters at the puppy bowl kind of way. She was choosing to craft her character and myth as the ultimate fish out of water underdog story, which by necessity begins with a completely unprepared protagonist. It was funny, preposterous even. But then he goes on to talk about how your interview with Eric Cooper on the Blood Wagon freaked you out.
That was a real turning point, I would say.
I was just going to say before you got to that, we might have been responsible for the hilarity, you know, not taking it real seriously part. And I apologize for that. But so the Blood Wagon interview is what it was, huh?
I think that was, yeah, I think that that unnerved me a little bit when I realized that maybe my plan about the Falcon saving me from the volcano and all of
it got me as like a little scary.
Yeah. And that navigation was not exactly like Pokemon Go, like all these things kind of realizations at once. And that actually they have a blood wagon for a reason. And I did not actually want to end up on it.
Yeah. There's no Pokemon in Mongolia. Okay. Yeah. So.
Yeah, despite the fact that Eric reassured me that they do serve cocktails on the Blood Wagon, but that's still not enough.
That's the painkiller. That's the painkiller they're allowed to use in Mongolia. It's straight whiskey. Here you go.
So your husband's analysis of your ratings, your rating for fitness at time of application, you're pretty fit, girl. You do like the mud runs, but was a 7, and he thinks that you require an 8 for race day, and he has rated you your current rating at 8. So you've stepped up in
fitness. Yay, you made it.
Yep. Your horsemanship rating at time of application, he gave you a 10, and the scale is 1 to 9. So he gave you a 10, and your current rating is a 10, and he says you only really need a 9. So you're overly prepared in the horse category. Logistics, which is kind of like how to travel, he gave you a 0 rating at time of application. Like, you're not ready. You will die. The current rating is an 8, and he thinks that you should have an 8. So you are now prepared with your GPS tracking system. Mm-hmm. Gear and tack rating at time of application, you got a 3. You had nothing. But, you know, some smart shopping. Your current rating is a 7. He thinks you need to be an 8, so you got a little more work to do. Or have you moved up to an 8 yet?
I think I have moved up to an 8. Yeah, I had a couple of lingering pieces of gear that I was not tamped down yet. But I think I'm there now.
Well, you tested stuff. You've been really getting out there. So gear and tack was a 3. It's now a 7. He thinks it's an 8. So you think you're an 8. Then finally, we have a rating at time of application for survival skills. He gave you a 2.
I'm not even sure why she was that high. What was he thinking?
Because logistics was clearly the 0 in the survival skills, your current rating is 5. He really thinks you should be a 6. So I think after your week in Montana, have you moved up to a 6 or 7?
Yeah, I would say so. He wrote this before I got home from Montana, and I've been like, dude, I've been out like wandering around amongst the grizzly bears for a week. Like, I deserve some credit for survival here, right?
Well, everybody wants to know, did you see a grizzly bear?
I didn't. I saw a lot of. I
they saw,
saw
you.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, because I was out there by myself, and so I would just like stick my turn my phone on, like some music on my phone, some loud music, and so and stick it in my pocket and just walk around with music. So I think that's scary because you, I think it's like you just don't want to walk around to turn a bend in the trail and you're like, oh hey, mom grizzly and baby grizzly, sorry I surprised you. I'm just gonna, you know, I'm just gonna head on my like I don't think that flies with them. So you want to kind of avoid that situation to begin with. So I
like, what's that noise out there? Oh, that's Leslie walking around with her GPS in one hand and banging a pot and pan with the other.
Yeah, that's pretty, that's kind of how it was. Except I was just playing some rock and roll out of my pocket. And I felt like that was probably sufficient enough. So I think I scared off pretty much all the wildlife within my immediate, you know, radius. in my attempt to keep the bears at bay. But
I love the one picture you had of your teepee stay where the buffalo was literally right outside your door.
Yeah, yeah. That was real.
If you'd have tried to ride the buffalo, it would have given you a little inkling of what the ponies are going to be like.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, though, we watched last night, Jennifer's dad was here, and we watched the video, and I'm sure you've seen it. It was ABC or NBC did it a couple years ago when Devin won the race, and then they took it back. It was that year. And I don't know if you saw that. It was about 20 minutes long, and they covered the whole race. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Devin, talk about a hard ass. she was out to win that thing. But it was interesting to watch that. And I was thinking about you, and I was thinking, is she going to be like Devin or like the girl behind Devin? And I kind of determined that you're kind of going to be the girl behind Devin if you had been there that year, just waiting for Devin to screw up so you can pass. You're like the tractor trailer truck that's in second place and is drafting, just waiting.
Yeah. 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 That would be a good game plan if I can swing it.
Now, do you have, I did have a question from a listener, and that is, what is your team called? Do you have a team? Do you have a gaggle of women that you're going out with? And do you have a team name?
Are you solo? Are you doing it?
I think I'm just going rogue.
Are you? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's her team name, Going Rogue. Well, that's your name right now, Going Rogue. That kind of fits you, actually.
No, she's more of a promoter than that. She'll come out with something like teamhorsenation.com, where she really should be teamwinebra.com.
Yeah.
Now, did you go without alcohol the whole time in Montana woods?
Most of the time, but there was another couple there that had brought, I was like, oh my God, I love you. We're spirit sisters. There's this other wife that, was, from Minnesota, and she brought some box wine.
Perfect.
Yeah, you did. I don't know.
But like not, she like took it, you know, took it out of the box. It was just like the bag of wine. So it was very packable.
Bag wine.
Girl.
All right, so tell us what the plan is now. What's going to happen over the next week?
Okay, so I fly out on Thursday morning, and then I get there Friday. I think it'll be like mid-afternoon our time. It's like Friday midnight for me. And then Saturday, I'm just going to... I don't know, hide in my hotel room, maybe just like catch up on sleep because, training starts on Sunday. We have training in Ulaanbaatar, the capital. And then after that on Monday, they drive us out to the start of the race, which I don't know where that's going to be, but, I guess we'll find out. And then you train out there with the horses for a couple days, which is great. Very generous of them, I think. And then the race starts on Thursday and goes through the 19th. So if I finish the ride early, I'll just be out there chilling at finish camp. And then I'll be back the next day. They haul us back. That's Sunday the 20th, I think. And there's a party, obviously. And
obviously.
And then I fly back the next day. So you'll have to come on sometime that weekend, tell you guys all about it.
Well, I will tell you this. There's something you don't want to do, and I know how competitive you are. But from this video we watched, they have a party the night before you go out, too. Mm-hmm. So, and the one guy there decided to, apparently wrestling's a big thing in Mongolia. Mm-hmm. So he tried to wrestle the one Mongolian guy and dislocated his shoulder before he went out the first day. So
Did he not go?
He went and lasted 2 days, and they had to pull him off. So let's not do any wrestling of Mongolian guys, okay?
Yeah. That was not on my agenda.
Okay, good.
Definitely keep that in mind.
Glad to hear that.
For sure. But yeah, but listen, I gotta say something, and that is that it's just one last huge thank you to all the Horse Radio Network listeners who have just generously, given me their, helped me financially to make this happen, who have given me their, so much emotional support. I feel so lifted up heading over there, and it's because of you guys. It really is. It has helped me just knowing that, and I'm riding out there with a list of everyone's names on a piece of paper that I can look at when the going gets rough and remember that you guys believe in me. And, and I think that's going to help me get through and remember that to believe in myself. So.
Well, I wanted to tell you that we're going to do somehow, some way, I'm going to be at Ada, but we're going to do a daily report, even if it's short, and put it out on the Horses in the Morning feed so that we'll just, even if it's 2 minutes saying, okay, this is where she's at now, this is the place she's in, she's not dead. So
yeah, not on the blood wagon.
Yeah, she's not on the blood wagon. As far as we can tell, she's still alive and moving. And then a couple of those days, Devin is going to join us because apparently, I didn't realize this, but all the past competitors, the alumni, they have a betting pool. And they get together every day on Facebook, and they do bets on who they think is going to make it, just like in Hunger Games. So,
oh, my gosh.
Yes. So she's going to come on and tell us who's the favorite on the betting pool as often as we can get her on.
Oh, wow. That's really funny.
I don't know where you fall yet. I don't know if you're if you're an odds-on favorite at this point, or you're in the middle. I don't know yet.
The odds be ever in your favor. So I want to read, before we let you go, I got to read one more part of this article because I think it's a perfect way to close. And again, if your husband wrote this, they should put him on memes and quotes because this is probably the best quote I've ever heard. He writes in the article, and this is just the end. If the destination you choose, Leslie, is a place you've never been before, then mysteries, unexpected obstacles, even profound risks very likely await you. The only way to avoid the unknown is to go back the way you came or simply stand still. To the surprise of exactly none of you, neither going back nor staying put are part of Leslie's state of being. And I've come to realize that I was able, willing, and overjoyed to sign on as her partner precisely because they're no longer a part of mine either. So let the journey continue.
Oh, that's so nice. You must have been like crying when you read this.
Oh, I know. He is so I could not ask for a better, sweeter.
Do you want a parting words for him? Like, go. Here is your moment to talk to your husband in a public quest.
No pressure.
No pressure. I have nothing to say except for, I love him so much. And he's my rock and what I return to you always, and I'll miss him while I'm out there, but it's, knowing that I have him to come home to makes it, makes me want to get to the finish line for sure.
Well, nice. You know that we love you, and there's several thousand fans out there that love you too, and we're all going to be following, and we know you're going to kick butt. We know that you're going to be crossing that finish line. We don't care, by the way, where you cross the finish line, but we know you're going to be crossing the finish line, and you're going to be representing all of us out here, and we really appreciate that. We really appreciate you taking the risk. Thank you.
Leslie, you're a changed woman since we started talking about this, and so I was really nervous before you came on and the beginning, and now I'm confident in you. I believe in you. You can do it. You're my sister. You go, girl.
Yeah. I feel... I'm ready. Bring it on.
She's like, she's just, her voice changed. She's wiser. It did.
She's like, she's in the starting box. We have her in the starting box. You know, she's chomping at the bit. The jockey's on board. She's ready to go.
No nerves, nerves of steel. She's Zenyatta. You're Zenyatta.
I'm Zenyatta.
Hey, there's her name. That's what we'll call her. We'll call her Zenyatta. Perfect.
That's your team name. There you go.
Perfect. Well, Leslie, we're with you, girl.
Well, thank you so much. I'll send back updates as often as I can. Yeah.
No, let me mean it.
You don't worry about sending updates. You worry about riding horses. We'll get the updates from them.
We'll
okay.
Find you.
Yeah, we'll know where you're at.
Yeah.
All right, Leslie. We love you. Have fun.
Okay. Love you.
Bye.
Horse Nation.
This episode is Do Try This at Home.
Leslie,
failure is always an option.
Any result's a result, that's for sure.
What you said is so true. We even talked about this off air, that we were not real confident when she first signed up, and she was not taking this real seriously. I think what her husband said was right.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, he nailed it from those of us who have listened to her every week, and just her immense growth in preparedness and preparation, in learning, in studying, in risk factor undertaking. I mean, you know, at first it was like, yeah, I said, then it started to get real.
Well,
but you know what? It didn't have to get real, but she has put in the time. She's worked her butt off.
I didn't tell her this, but I'm going to try and get Tommy on a time or two here as we're going through the next couple of weeks so we can hear how he's feeling. And that'll be an interesting. He was a guest once on our Horse Husband show, so he's been on here before. And super nice guy. He is just a really nice guy. And, you know, I think they are a neat couple. I did not know. I thought he must have sent that notes to somebody and somebody wrote that for him because it was very well done.
It's like a high school paper. I mean, a college paper. It's a thesis.
Yeah, it is. And it was very well done and from the heart. And it just shows how much he loves her, too. So, this is it. I can't believe we're here and she's going.
You know, it's incredible.
We started talking about this a year ago. So, now, do you have a little twinge or are you happy you're not going?
Oh, there's always a twinge,
yeah,
for sure. But the place that I'm at in my life with the kid and the farm and the adoption and all that kind of stuff, it wouldn't have worked out. So, while I say there's a twinge, I'm actually just so pulling for her. I'm so excited that we get to be a part of this experience, even from afar, but share it with her. And I'm so proud of her. I'm so proud because she has really buckled down and taken it seriously and got put in the time and put in the work. And I don't know if I'd have been able to change that. I wouldn't have been able to do that at all. So aside from learning a little GPS in my backyard, she has been able to go out there and attack everything. So
it's hard to take a three-year-old with you when you go out and practice for 12 hours a day riding.
Here, buddy, take this bear spray.
Yeah.
And you just stand over here.
That's right. Don't move too far.
No, it was impossible. And so, you know, what's meant to happen happens. And it was not meant for me to go, but was meant for me to be a part of it somehow. And so, well, watching her and listening to her. And
I want to back up what she said about our listeners supporting her. They really did come through. Some of you donated lots of money, and some of you are giving support and moral support, which is just as important. But you really did come through for her, and we really appreciate that on our end, to know that we have listeners that are that supportive of people's dreams. And this is it wasn't one of her dreams till we talked her into it, but now it's her dream and she's doing it now, so we're excited to see you. And we've met now so many, and the listeners have met, you guys have all met so many of the riders through this show that you're going to be following a whole bunch of people while they're out there, and that's kind of cool. We've gotten to meet some of the people, 65 years old. That's just crazy. And we met the guy from Australia who's going to be there, you know, just it was It's going to be fun to follow the people that have become our friends through the show. There's one other thing before we go today, because we didn't get to it on Friday, and we've had people asking. I know you have, too. Can you just give us a Reader's Digest on the adoption update? We said we were going to do it, and then we didn't on Friday.
No.
No.
There's no Reader's Digest on.
I should know Reader's Digest and Jamie don't go in the same sentence. I'm sorry.
Seriously. Let's see. We have zero more minutes. So, real quick.
No, we got time. Whatever. Just give us a quick.
So, update. We're doing the interstate adoption. And what that means is we are adopting from anywhere in the United States out of foster care. And out of foster care means parental rights of these children's parents have been severed. So, they are free for adoption. And what happens is, my caseworker, or I find a child on the internet that maybe is interesting, and I submit a home study. So that home study that we had done and all the preparedness, we submit that, and it goes. So what I see of this child is a photo and like a brief bio. He likes strawberries, and his favorite color is blue, and he's going to, you know, and so you don't really get a good picture of what is going on. So you submit your information, and then they send you back kind of a little more realistic version of actually what's going on with the kid. And we've submitted now for six children. Six different times I have submitted my home study and have been waiting on hearing something back. And three times we have been told no. Most of the all of those times, I think, two of the times definitely, they said no because we have a child that's younger in the home. And these kids that are in foster care are so traumatized that a lot of times they take out their frustration on the younger child in the house.
Yeah.
So for safety reasons, they turned me down. One that I just knew I was going to get, he was going to be my son, and he was in Texas, and I submitted and waited, and Texas takes 30 days from start to finish when you submit your home study to when they tell you yes or no, and they milk it. They take every day. On day 30, they just simply told me no. Like, no reason, no excuses, no nothing.
Was that the one you had sent me the picture of?
Gosh, I don't know.
Okay.
But I've funny enough, I've kind of, because we were going to adopt from Ethiopia, I always assumed I would have a black child. And so that's kind of all I've really looked at. And recently, so I submitted for a girl in Rhode Island and another boy, I think in Michigan. And both of those, when they emailed me back, they're like, they have these issues. Are you willing to accept? And simply because of Lucas, we're unable to accept. Like, one of the children was aggressive towards the female in the house, so the mom, and one of them had issues with animals. So, you know, obviously the animal thing doesn't work, and the aggression towards the female, while it's great with other kids, my child doesn't need to see that. You know, so we're trying to add to our family and not take away from Lucas, and so. There's so many kids out there that fit the bill. So we currently have submissions out on two. And where I told you I was really thinking that I would have an African son or daughter, I have submitted now on two little white blonde-haired blue-eyed boys.
That's the one picture I got. It looked exactly like Lucas, actually.
Oh, my gosh. So there's one boy in Arizona that we have submitted on, and I am anxiously waiting. He's 8 years old, and he
could be Lucas's brother. If you didn't know, if you all went out together, it would look like Lucas's brother.
And I can't tell you any of the things that have, for privacy reasons, but I'm so honest with you guys that it's that would be somebody that I would just wrap up in my arms and do nothing but love forever. It because that's what he needs. The other one is a 2-year-old. Oh my gosh, back to diapers. No!
Oh, geez.
2-year-old in Texas. And we submitted our home study on Friday or Thursday, excuse me. And they stop accepting them on the 5th, and it's in Texas. So I have 30 days. So I will not hear anything. I could hear something about the kid in Arizona. But it's, you know,
God, this has got to be hard for you because you're looking at all of them, wanting them. I mean,
you cannot, it is such a good thing. I have my husband to keep me in check because she also was
he had
sending
to put the
me
curb,
siblings.
The chain curb bit in
pretty much. I've got a big halt because, they've sent me sibling groups. Oh my gosh. I would have a house of four more children that are all related to each other. And because you read the stories, and as animal people and horse people, we're incredibly compassionate, you know, to somebody's story. And that's why I love all of my sisters and brothers listening, because we all have that compassion, and that need to help and that want to help. And in this scenario, so many of these children need help. And so back to the husband, he has made sure to protect me and maintain some sort of, like, I don't know. It would be a disaster at my house if it was up to me. It's like, I have a green light to adopt. I'll take all the children, bring them to me. With horses, if you have six stalls, how many horses do you have, Glenn?
12.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought you would say seven. So
no,
I've got
12.
Three extra bedrooms. I need four children.
Well, you know, I think that, you know, what's going to happen is when the right one's the right one, you'll be accepted, and that's going to be it.
That's what I'm...
It's just like when you're buying a horse. When the right one's the right one, it's going to happen.
You know? Yes, that's what we keep telling ourselves. And because we were turned down for this one means maybe the next one is the right
or
one.
Or they found a home that was more fitting for that child in that circumstance.
You know? And two of them, we found out that they had been placed. And there's no sadness there. It's super overjoyed for that child to finally have parents. I mean, I can't go on. Anyway. Yeah. That was a 6-minute Reader's Digest version. You're welcome.
I'm glad we're up to date. I've been wanting to do that for weeks now, and we just keep forgetting. So thank you for keeping us up to date. And when the right one comes along, it'll happen.
Thank you. And thanks to you, I have my podcast app, and I listen to adoption story podcasts all the time.
Oh, do you? Is that helping or hurting?
It's helping, but it's hard to find a podcast with somebody that's in the same story as me. You know, most of them are infant adoption type things or anything. And so my, of course, situation is a little unique and different.
But there's gotta be somebody else. What podcast is it that you're listening to? Do you remember the name?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Here I can go on.
Well, give them a plug here.
You know, I've listened to a bunch and I haven't really married, but I realize how important sound quality is. Listening to these, but Adoption Now seems to be a good one because it's a people, person, or a couple telling their story. So Adoption Now is kind of cool. And I found another one from an agency, and they're like on. It sounds like there's three of them on a speakerphone across the room, and I'm like, what'd that guy say when I said what'd that guy say? Like, I can't tell. So that one's not so good. But anyway. Anyway, the podcast, there's a podcast for everything, dang it.
Yeah, there is. Really, everything.
Yeah. Awesome.
Well, good. I'm glad that that this is progressing, and I'm sure we'll hear good news soon. Thank you.
Get it done.
Emily is joining us tomorrow. She's back with the jumping episode, so that'll be nice to get her back on. If you have any questions about jumping your horse in any which way, just send them to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. They have to be in by 3:00 today on Monday as we're recording this, and she'll be back on Tuesday. You'll be here all week, right?
I will. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I'm here, and I'll be, I would like to tell everybody, I know, my gosh, this is going on forever, but if you have some questions for Monty, I got him to agree to sit down and answer questions where he'll roll his eyes at me continually because he's answered them a billion times, but I don't care. Send your questions to me, post them on, maybe Jen, if you could post something on Facebook, if anybody has a question for Monty, post that. And then also, if you guys want to email me, jamie@horseradionetwork.com, I'll probably sit down with him on Wednesday or Thursday. So get those to me.
And we'll also be...
And just know that I'm getting my eyes rolled out, and it's a lot of work for me to ask your questions, but I will jump in front of the bus for you.
And on Wednesday, we'll be making the official announcement of how you can enter into the first ever Equestrian's Got Talent on the Stable Scoop Show for the month of August. I'll have it all set up. We'll have our pages set up. All the instructions and everything will be ready by Wednesday. So we'll make that announcement on Wednesday as well. And you guys are going to be the judges of that. So after each week's show, you'll be able to go on and however
channel
many...
Channel Simon? We get to channel our inner Simon.
That's right. You get to channel your inner Simon. You'll get to go vote on who wins each week. And then the final week, we will have a finals. We'll have those people back, and they're going to have to do a second one. And
here, I'll channel my inner Mel B right now. Okay, so I didn't really understand it. I didn't really get it. I didn't really.
No,
really
you can't
it,
do that. Mel B loves everything. She seems to love everything,
but she doesn't get anything.
No,
I don't know how you did that. I don't want it. I don't understand what I just saw, but it was good.
By the way, that show is really good this year. I'm just saying, it's been
it's awesome.
Yeah, it's been good this year. All right, we gotta go. Bye, everybody.
Hey, Nerdgeld. Peace. Love and joy.